All right, so my question here is, where do you live and how does that affect how you get around? So that's kind of an interesting question because I used to live in L.A. and I got around by car. And then I moved to San Francisco and immediately sold my car because having a car in San Francisco is like a punishment. So I got a bike and I started riding every day and for commuting and for getting around everywhere. And it was the greatest thing ever. And bicycling is the best. And so now I live here in Portland and I live almost all the way in Gresham. But because I'm just so used to bicycling all the time, you know, I still bicycle, and that's probably affecting where I'm going to live next because I'm going to move someplace where I can bicycle to work in less than, you know, 45 minutes. So that's the answer to the question. I'm Justin, and you're listening to Open Roads Broadcasting. Was there an ing at the end?
There was.
Okay.
All right, let's start this thing.
Yeah.
Hello, welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we simplify the good life. My name is Brock Dittus.
And I'm Aaron Flores, broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally, with a global perspective, and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
Covering transportation, food, bikes, trains and transit.
Everything
and
you want.
I don't have my show notes. I thought I could do it by memory, but
well,
hey, guess what? Today is it's just you and me.
It is. Freaks
today
me out
we're
a little
covering
bit.
just you and I sharing a podcast together. I am so sorry, listeners. I don't know.
Well, it's quite dissonant, which, I mean, that fits within your, like, that's what you prefer in music,
that's
right?
That's true.
You like
yes.
dissonance.
Two notes right next to each other so that their wavelengths just bounce right off each other.
Are you a fan of second chords?
Yes.
Are you?
Yes. Tritone, second chords.
Somehow I thought, I mean, I guess it's dissonant, but I thought that maybe that'd be too, like, artsy for you or something, like too Dave Matthews for you.
I mean, well, now that you say it that way.
Now it kind of has to be. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. That's you can play dissonant notes any number of ways.
That's true.
You can play them hard. You can play them soft. You can.
Well, and you know, just because Dave Matthews did it doesn't mean that it's inherently bad.
Right, right. Well, it's like that. What's that one song? The Where Are You Going? I Am No Superman. It's one of the only Dave Matthews songs I actually like a lot.
Is that the one that goes, hur, 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 hur,
that's
hur.
It. Yeah.
Okay.
It came out right about the time I was in college, I think. And I had never, I don't know, there was a couple of guys I knew that liked Dave Matthews a lot.
We should, speaking of Dave Matthews, I should give apologies to Kirk?
Yeah.
Is that, he was on the Midnight Mystery Ride.
Okay.
We went on. Is that his name?
I'm not sure who you're talking about yet.
He had the red front loader bike with the amp on it.
Oh, Kyle.
Kyle.
Yeah. Kyle Johnson.
I'm sorry, Kyle. Yes.
Yeah.
Kyle. Yeah, Kyle Johnson.
From Go By Bike.
Yes.
The ballet and bike shop.
Yes.
Down at the base of OHSU.
Anyways.
In the Southwest.
I was making fun of Dave Matthews, and he's a huge fan.
He's a big Dave fan. Yeah, definitely. And Dave people are, they're kind of like, it's similar to the affection felt for, like, you know, the I was going to say The Walking Dead, The Grateful Dead.
The U2.
Yeah, it's just like any iconic performer, I suppose, has some sort of following, yeah. By the way, we should explain. First of all, we should explain, that we are by ourselves. You sang that, but then we started talking about music, which is fine. It's just you and I tonight, so here we are. Happy January, everybody.
Yeah.
It's
well,
we
have a tradition of doing like a New Year
somewhere around the New Year
on our own.
Yeah.
I mean, all the one New Year I've done with you. But
you've done two, haven't you?
Have I? I don't think so.
I think you've done at least two.
So, really?
I think so.
Well, then it is a tradition.
It's like our third annual or whatever. Well, now I got two different directions to go because we're talking about the Midnight Mystery Ride, which you and I both went on.
Yes.
And also about music. So Kyle had
a
boombox.
This is not a music podcast.
It's not, no. But let me just say that I asked him to play Let's Go by The Cars.
And he did?
And he did.
Really?
Yeah, he put it in the queue.
Right, because he said, I'm taking requests because I have Spotify Prime.
That's it, yeah.
Or Premium or whatever.
Yeah, so yeah. Rolling around with a cargo bike with an amp with cellular data and music. So
I told him I didn't want to hear anything but Slayer.
Did he oblige?
No, I don't think he took me seriously.
I never heard any.
Yeah, I never heard any either.
Well, hey, let me pop open this beer real quick.
Craig, I'm going to pop open this beer.
Okay, excellent. You're drinking a beer? This is kind of a momentous occasion.
A root beer.
Oh, never mind. It's not even an exciting root beer. Whoever bought that for you is a chump.
Every now and then you just need a good old macro brew.
That's right, yeah. And I'm drinking, what is it? Snowcap from Pyramid. Pyramid, turns out, is one of the, as far as beer companies go, it gets higher marks for, like, ethics and the environment and whatnot. And
oh,
so,
really?
Yeah. I wouldn't have guessed because they're cheaper beer.
Pyramid was prevalent at the Midnight Mystery Ride, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. I brought one.
Yeah, there was a number of people who brought Pyramids, I thought.
I think you're right. Yeah, I think somebody else had some too. So Midnight Mystery Ride is, of course, in Portland, the institution, the monthly institution.
Second Friday of every month.
Yeah. You meet up at midnight.
At midnight we ride.
Yeah. And so Nathan Jones organized this one this time.
Yeah.
And as soon as I heard that.
Generally, you don't know who the leader is. But
right, right.
Somehow word got out, and
He may have let word out. I think he might have been a little bit excited about it.
Cool. That makes it even better.
Yeah. I saw musings online.
He was very excited about it. I didn't know he let the word out, but when we got to writing, he made it known that he was very excited.
I think it was Twitter or Facebook where he said, I may or may not be leading a ride tonight. It may or may not leave at midnight. Something like that.
I wonder if he's the one that did the write-up then.
Could be.
On their website.
Possibly.
It was a very optimistic, excited write-up about the new year.
Although, didn't we learn that that Megan Sennett usually does the publicity for MMR? Or no, that's not true.
No, that's
she does
not true,
World Naked Bike Ride.
Yes, she
that's
does
right.
the publicity, but okay. she knows.
Oh, she knows who does it. So that's still a mystery. Oh.
I think it's supposed to be.
Okay, that's fine. I just thought we had solved the mystery.
Oh, yeah.
So
we did.
It goes.
We did, but you may have forgotten.
I guess I have.
Yeah.
And we can't share that now here.
Well,
because everybody's listening.
Yeah.
It's not just you and me.
So met at Apex, right?
Apex is a good place to meet.
Yeah, nice outdoor patio. And it was a great night.
Yeah.
This was the first Midnight Mystery Ride I've been on where it was led by a BMX.
Was he on a BMX?
He was on a BMX.
See,
I think he might have been the only one on a BMX, which is funny because usually they're pretty prevalent.
Yeah. That's how little I paid attention to Nathan on this ride. For as much as I appreciated him leading the ride, I was at the very tail end.
Mm.
So I didn't see a whole lot of him in motion. I did meet, was it Kevin, I want to say, who came here from South Carolina? And,
oh, really?
It was like his first night in town or something like that. it was one of the first
things. Hell of a way to get introduced to the city.
Yeah, one of the first things that he did in Portland was to go on a Midnight Mystery Ride. And so that was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I think he said he had done a couple of different things kind of in this vein. Like he had connected with bike cultures in other cities that were kind of like this. But,
yeah.
But this was his first Portland experience. So I think he chose the right one. And he and I actually had the same beer. We had, what was it, the Crux. It's got a special hop, a mosaic hop. It's very sweet.
I was thinking Beer Lau.
Oh, right. Yeah, Beer Lau. Is that you came over to my place before the Midnight Mystery Ride, and you brought me Beer Lau.
You asked me to get a cheap beer in a can.
I think I said the shittiest beer that you could find.
That I could find.
Or something along those lines.
Well, and so I tend to equate shitty with not expensive.
Right, and usually that's true.
And outside of something you probably have already drank, like High Life or something.
Yeah, and most of those I have tried.
Yeah. There was Beer Lau.
Yes.
And I should note that I stopped at Fubon on the way to your place to find this because...
And Fubon is Portland's largest Asian foods emporium, right? And culture emporium?
Yeah. It's an Asian-centered, Asian culture-centered mall.
Yeah. Like there are many retailers and lots of things.
Yeah.
Lots of imports.
Yeah. Lots of... Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So beer lao, an import.
And it is an imported beer. It's also gluten-free.
Oh, right. Yeah. And there were like two different stickers. Like you don't often see an aluminum can of beer with stickers on it proclaiming it to be.
Right.
Yeah. And it was. So thank you for that.
Sure.
It was much tastier than I expected it to be.
Yeah.
And I think it tasted a lot like Budweiser because it was made with rice.
Okay.
Like Budweiser is. Right. So yeah, a good beer. So those are my two. The Midnight Mystery Ride, I remember we took a turn through the Lone Fir Cemetery on our route.
I could not remember the name and recounting that to other people.
Yeah. And I remember I have been on other rides that ended there. I don't remember which one. I'm pretty sure it was the Bowie versus Prince 1 year wrapped up there. And I don't even know if it wrapped up there, but it spent some time in the graveyard.
Yeah.
And actually, I think Kyle might have been the guy that turned on Thriller as we went into the graveyard.
Oh, yeah.
Which was pretty great.
Yeah.
Because I think it might be a tradition. I think every time I've been on a bike there, I believe that's what's happened.
So, does that cemetery close? Like, I know there's no gates or anything, but are there hours for that?
I assume there must be. Like, there has to be something official, but apparently... Are there no gates? Or are they just always open?
There's a fence around it.
Right.
But there's always an open gate.
Yeah.
I don't think it does close at all.
And I would think midnight would be far after most cemeteries would be advertising that they were open for business.
Right.
The business of going in.
I did get the impression that there were other people in the cemetery, like just hanging out. I don't know.
Paying their respects?
Probably. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt.
It could have been. It's a very dark place and somewhat mysterious. And so it'd be easy to assume that something, if not nefarious, at least illicit was going down there. But you don't know.
I don't know. But I certainly, at least in my head, you know, who knows? I'm in a cemetery. So like the creepiness factor,
right?
You know, is up. Maybe right. I only saw it in my head, but I saw silhouettes moving around.
If I'm not mistaken, I believe I remember Sarah Dillon from Fun Employment Radio has gone jogging through that cemetery a couple times and posted photos of weird things she has seen there.
Oh, really?
Like an empty baby stroller.
Oh, God.
Just yeah, out in the middle of a graveyard. That's no good. I'm sure there's a rational explanation, but that is creepy.
Yeah.
So anyways, we did not stop there. We ended up rolling back out and continued on. So that worked out well. But thanks to Nathan Jones for a lovely Midnight Mystery Ride.
Yeah.
How late were you there?
I wasn't there that late, but I slogged my ass getting home.
Okay.
I think it was the combination of just not having enough water to drink. Uh-huh. And
you weren't drunk.
And I wasn't drunk.
So
damn it.
Couldn't have been that.
But no, combination of not having enough water to drink and having just been out so late. I'm rolling up Division and just I'm in my lowest gear.
Yeah.
And not getting anywhere. I probably would have been faster if I just got off and started walking.
It just ended up being a late night.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't get home till about 4.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Cause I didn't think you left that much earlier than I did, but by the time, wait, you didn't get home till 4?
Yeah.
Okay. Cause
it
I got home.
It took me freaking forever to get home.
Oh yeah. Cause I got home at 5.
Oh shit. No
I was
kidding.
Out nearly all night.
Okay.
I guess that is pretty much all night.
Yeah.
Like the sun.
Yeah. You
come
might as well just stayed up and watched the sunrise.
Cause it's winter, but no, I would feel terribly disappointed. Yeah. I'm not sure if I've said that before on mic or not, but a couple of times I've stayed up all night long
and watched the sunrise.
Yeah. Like when the sky starts to turn like that lighter blue.
Yeah.
And you're like, there's dawn over that way. That's like an incredibly disheartening feeling to me. It's like, oh, I should have slept today. And there's no way I will now.
I see.
But no, I was out with, well, there was a couple of folks that we know, friends of ours, that were there at the bonfire at the end of the ride.
Yeah. And at Brandon Shelby.
Yes.
Of last two episodes ago now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Cause it's Boston month.
Yes.
Two shows a week. Yeah, Brandon and Eric Iverson and I went out to the Hot Cake House because...
Oh, you fuckers.
I know.
Oh, if I knew that.
So that's the thing is that we were there at... I didn't think it was that much later, but yeah, we stayed after you left.
Yeah.
And then Eric was like, so, Hot Cake House? And I said, yeah, why not? And so we went up there and we had not hot cakes. I had hash brown supreme, which is great. I don't think it's good for you. But they cover them with gravy and they interject
hash browns with gravy.
Hash browns with a bunch of other things.
Okay.
Yeah. There's probably like some sausage and some vegetables in there somewhere.
I want some hash browns now.
They're pretty good. Well, that Hot Cake House is open 24 hours.
That's true.
And that is the last bastion of like old school Portland in a lot of ways.
Is that the only 24-hour restaurant in town?
Yes. Unequivocally, it is the only 24-hour restaurant. That's not true.
There are Denny's.
No, there's a few
around here.
The other one that I prefer is downtown, the Roxy, which is on Stark Street, and that's another neighborhood that's all changed. Most of the businesses that used to be there are no longer there, but the Roxy is open 24 hours a day, only closed on Mondays, I want to say.
Oh, okay.
But they do a nice 24-hour business. Great place to get a pot of coffee at 3 a.m. or any other time. Yeah. So anyways, that's what we did. So you're saying you got home at 4 and we went to the Hot Cake House and got food and everything.
Yeah.
And I was back by 5. So that means you really did take some time to get home.
Oh, yeah. Well, this may segue into my issue of today.
I think it probably
will. My issue of the day.
Give me your hypothesis.
Well, do you remember a long time ago when I thought my brakes were locking up on me?
Yeah.
It's entirely possible it wasn't my brakes.
Yeah. So what could it have been?
It's my hub.
It's your hub.
Today, my whole back wheel just locked up.
Shit.
I had ridden to work with Anna and was riding back. And it was just, again, like I was slogging my way up Division.
Yeah.
And I stopped a couple times. Like I thought, well, maybe it's just because I had skipped breakfast. So I stopped and I got myself like an egg burrito.
Like you're out of fuel.
And yeah. And started going up the hill again. And
no luck?
It's just really hard. I'm not in the small gear up front, but I'm in a really light gear. And
right.
It's fairly easy to pedal, but I'm not getting any rolling.
Hmm.
I stop in for coffee at Coffee Division.
It's a progressive trip home.
Yeah, it basically
it's
was.
It's a nice day off.
And I start rolling back and, you know, I finally get home and I'm tired. I'm all sweaty and I go to roll into the house and as I'm rolling it by hand, I'm realizing like this isn't rolling very easy.
No good.
And spin the wheel and the back wheel doesn't spin. Then I think, oh, great, my brakes have locked up again.
Like it doesn't spin at all? Not like it's just sluggish
like,
or slow?
Well, like it'll do like a quarter of a turn.
Ooh, and then it just kind of stops.
And then stops.
And the funny thing is, usually coffee from Coffee Division will solve that problem.
I would hope so.
But this was more intense.
No. No. Took the wheel off and... As I took the wheel off, I, you know, looked at the brake pads and everything, and they weren't even touching. I wound them all the way out and, like, spun the wheel, and it still didn't spin.
Okay. So something is seriously wrong here.
So, yeah, I took the wheel off, went to spin it, you know, on the axle, and it wouldn't spin. So,
and that's basically now, the axle's job.
Yep. Now it's time to pull the wheel apart.
Well, the thing is, you're a tinkerer. You're a person who's not afraid to kind of get into shit like
that.
Well,
it's not the first time I've had to overhaul a hub.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I remember
the
other
time. On a bicycle called Panic, I ruined the front hub.
Okay.
It was possibly the Crater Lake trip that ruined it.
Okay. I mean, that's for a good cause then.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also the way I ride bikes. you know.
Should have been a bicycle called Entropy. maybe that'll be my next one.
There you go. But yeah, the front hub, it was shortly after I came back from Crater Lake, actually noticing that there's some play in the wheel. And Aaron Kenyon, who I worked with at the time,
oh yeah,
was like, yeah, those hubs are shot. You have to redo everything.
And so you were like, hey, I'll try this out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't have the money to buy new equipment. I didn't at that time anyway.
Yeah. So necessity is, well, it's the mother of, yeah.
Yeah.
Mother of frustration.
Yes. But I learned how to repack the bearings and everything, like, and, you know, cones and whatnot.
Yeah. So you're saying it didn't work on that first bike?
No, it did work.
Oh, it did. Okay.
Bike. Yeah.
Oh,
that's gotcha. Where I learned how to do it.
Ah.
However, on a rear hub, and I did the rear hub on that bike too. It takes a long ass time because you got to pull the cassette apart or off. And so I live with a bike mechanic.
That's helpful.
Sean Baird of the bike farm. And
you are kind of a bike mechanic yourself. You would say that.
I would say a tinkerer. I think tinkerer.
But I think you're a bike mechanic.
Oh, thank you.
You just, you need like two or three things to learn before you could be like a pro. But you are a bike mechanic.
I'm a
far more than I am.
Well, okay. I'll take that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So pulled all that apart. And because I live with a bike mechanic, I've kind of, I don't know, let those skills atrophy maybe. Because he's so willing to, like, he doesn't do it for me, but he'll like tell me what to do as things.
Like if you live with someone who's say a master chef or something, and they enjoy doing things around the house, they make food all the time, and so you'd never have to cook.
Exactly.
Same sort of situation.
Yeah.
Same dynamic. Someone who loves to do your laundry, like your
this
mom.
This time I was insistent on doing it myself. However, he was like standing with me the whole time and was just like, well, while you got this apart, you should also do this. And while you're doing this, you should also do this. And like, I was just kind of like, okay, I'll do it. And like took the free hub body apart. Basically anything that could be pulled off of that rear hub was pulled off of that rear hub.
Just do it all at once.
And soaked in degreaser and cleaned off and re-greased and re-lubed. And
Yeah. Nice. So did you finally get it to work then?
Yeah.
You are here.
So it's another thing is you realize, you know, when things like break down, but break down slowly.
Yeah.
You don't notice how shitty of a time you're having until things are working and you're like, oh my gosh, this is rolling so good.
Yeah, man. No, that's exactly how I feel. Like every time I take my bike into the shop for like its yearly, you know, because I try and do like a little bit of my own maintenance and sometimes I'll buy new parts or whatever halfway through the year. But generally about between November and January is when I pay someone to go over my entire bike and redo everything. And that's when I'm just like, oh, yes, this is how a bike is supposed to feel.
Yeah. Oh, I need to mention that as we're pulling it apart, there is a seal or just basically that something that keeps the water and everything.
A gasket?
Yeah, like there's a rubber gasket and then there's a piece of metal that holds that gasket in. And that thing was just shredded.
Oh.
It must have, I don't know exactly how it did it, but it was, I mean, there was a circle worn into this
thing
and that's what was locking it up.
And that would, that would explain a lot of, a lot of the problems.
Yeah. So we had to, luckily I live with a bike mechanic who also has other just things hanging out and we pulled apart an old hub, also happened to be the same type.
Oh, nice.
Hub
so you had like so. a sample case to work on before you actually did your own.
Yeah.
Which is good. That's the reason I don't do more of my own work is because I'm afraid that I'm going to fuck it up beyond like recognition. There's going to be no way for me to get back.
Well, you know, necessity being what it is. Like
again, yes.
I either fuck this up like beyond recognition and then I have to get a new rear wheel at least, or I fix this. But either way, like I don't have a rear wheel.
Right. So I might as well.
Yeah, exactly.
And did you say you didn't build a new wheel yet? You're about to?
Yeah, so this is because it's a fix, but it's still not – it'll probably get me 1,000 miles, which is good. But I'm definitely going to want to get something that is going to last me a little bit more than that.
Yeah, and you could ride 1,000 miles in a year easily.
Oh, yeah.
Easily.
Oh, yeah. And I tend to put hard miles. like
a little strange.
It might be 1,000 miles like for anybody else, but
yeah.
I might end up cutting that in half.
It's miles of abuse.
Yeah.
Yeah, just unfeeling
well, just
active
action riding.
Yeah. No regard for your steed.
Well, you know, I have regard for her, but, you know,
the thing.
We're a rough and tumble group.
You can only have regard for her when you're fixing her up. I think that's the thing.
Okay.
If you're going to have any fun.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I guess so.
You can't always be worried about like what's going to happen.
Well, no. I mean, I don't take her anywhere she doesn't want to go.
Within reason.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyhow.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So this is – I've had these Velocity Blunt rims just hanging out for a while. Bought them.
Yeah.
Velocity had a big garage sale a long time ago and bought them for $20 each. And so – and they're tubeless ready. Which means
you could go tubeless.
Well, yeah.
I don't know a whole lot about this.
From what I've read in the forums, that particular rim is best to go tubeless anyways.
Okay. Is that scary at all?
For me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's a whole new thing. But I don't know. It's kind of exciting. It'll be interesting. The whole, like, what happens if something punctures my tire kind of is a little... concerning,
right?
You know, especially if you're off on a long trip.
I assume that means that you'd be able to fix the tire somehow, right?
Well, yeah, and I think there's patches. There's got to be, right?
Yeah,
there's
or like plugs or something like that,
right? But anyhow, it'll be a whole new adventure, and maybe I'll decide like tubeless is not it. And
yeah,
but and also since I'm building a wheel, might as well get a dynamo hub.
Of course, yes. Generate your own electricity.
Yeah, I've been resistant for a long time, but I'm realizing I keep forgetting my spare batteries.
Yeah, and batteries suck, man.
Yeah,
batteries
even rechargeables.
Are lame.
Even rechargeables, like.
Yeah, and we both use them all the time. Like batteries are kind of they're a necessity of life. But if you can get away without them, it's kind of nice.
Yeah, I love my battery lights. Part of the reason why I have been resistant to like dynamo hubs. And USB charge lights is, you know, if you're out in the middle of nowhere, you can find a place that'll sell you a couple AA batteries.
True.
You know.
Unless you hook all of your lighting up to this dynamo hub and then you like recharge your stuff on the fly.
Right. And that would be cool. My resistance to the dynamo, of course, is like I can't work on it.
Right.
I can't tinker with it.
Well, I mean, maybe. Have you tried?
No.
Well, you don't have one
yet. I don't have one, but I guess maybe I could, right?
Right, yeah. That was the thing is last time I took my bike in, they were talking about how the hub might need some help or work or something like that. I think it's still fine. I mean, it's been used. It's been well loved.
Your dyno hub?
Yeah. At first it was Drew's and now it's mine. Right. So it's seen plenty of miles. But, I mean, I think it'll go a lot longer before it actually needs to be pulled apart and worked on. So the guy at the shop was like, oh, we could do a thing. But... he might not know that much about dynamo hubs either. I don't want to question his level of competency. I'm sure he's a great bike mechanic, but that is a very specialized field.
Well, and, you know, it was one guy's hub. He probably knows more about that than
probably
anybody
so.
Else.
Yeah, I would ask Drew before I asked anybody else.
Yeah.
And Drew, since you're listening, I mean. You know.
There you go.
Let me know if you think I need to think about anything in particular. I was just thinking about... with the dynamo hub thing,
yeah.
I think it was Lily on the Bike Portland podcast that was talking about how, what was it? Like in Germany, people will ask you like, are you a bike mechanic? And what they really mean is, are you an electrician? Because
because what they want is work on the
dynamo hub or light. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
Because everybody else knows everything else about like the mechanics of their bikes.
I guess like the bikes don't break down that much or are not too hard to fix, you know, but like the thing that goes wrong that nobody knows how to do is work on the electricity.
Okay.
So yeah, apparently that's a thing in Germany.
Yeah.
In Lily's experience. I thought that was interesting, but you know, you were talking about pulling apart the hub and, you know, one thing leads to another. Reminds me of a stupid old joke from the 1930s or something.
Love it.
Can I tell you?
Yes.
So two guys are hanging out at the guy's house and one fellow says to the other, hey, wouldn't have to have a piece of paper, would you? Pen? Sure. Here, take them. So the guy sits down, scratches something out. Happen to have an envelope, by the way? Of course. Help yourself. Seals it up. Stamp? Sure. Say, what's your girl's address? Kind of dumb. But I like it.
All right.
Yeah. One thing leads to another. Let's see. I was going to talk a little bit about this sensory ride.
Yeah. You did what is called
the Phantom Horse Thief
Phantom
Century.
Phantom Horse Thief. And that's a century plus.
Well, it was a 98-mile loop, apparently. But we rode from home, which is about 10 miles from the start location.
Okay.
So we did 120 miles.
Holy shit.
Yeah, and 10 of those were under duress. Like, we thought we were going to take TriMet home, either the Max, the light rail, or the bus.
Yeah.
And it turned out it was like a 20 to 30 minute wait for either one.
And you're like, ah, fuck it. We'll just,
exactly. We could be home by then.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, this is Nathan Jones as well. And he put this together. This is the second annual. I think they did one last year, and that was the first. But apparently, out just north of Portland in Scappoose, actually outside of Scappoose in the hills, there's the Scaponia Highway goes from Scappoose to Vernonia. So it's a very descriptive name.
Scaponia.
Scaponia has a county park kind of halfway down the highway. And at that site, apparently, there was a horse thief who was hanged.
Oh,
and
okay.
Now occasionally his ghost shows up from time
Ooh.
To time. And I wasn't quite sure, like, at first I was wondering if it was a first a ghost, then a horse thief, or first a horse thief, then a ghost.
Right.
And I think it's the latter. But, so this guy was hanged for stealing horses. And I guess that was, that was like the thing, the impetus to continue the century would be to escape this ghost.
Oh,
yeah.
I see.
Scaponia County Park is also where Adele and I tried to join our first Cycle Wild trip.
And?
But we left later. We did not ride out with the group. And so we ended up there, which was their original destination. But the weather was shitty. And so I think they ended up staying in Vernonia instead. And we encountered them the next day.
Ah.
So that was the first time I ever met Matt Piccio because he was leading that trip.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. Anyways, we did...
no longer head of Cycle Wild.
No longer head of Cycle Wild. No, he's on to greener pastures and also recently married.
Oh, yeah.
Some people may know that. Some people may not. But congratulations to Matt because he's awesome.
Woo.
Yeah. And Christy because she's awesome. I don't know her as well as Matt. The century ride, we went over Saltzman Road.
Uh-huh.
Or Saltzman, as I prefer to say it.
The Saltzman.
It's a great, easy stress. Well, it's not easy, but it's a stress-free way to get over the West Hills without having to worry about a lot of vehicle traffic because there is no vehicle traffic. Other than us.
That's true. Hey, I never thought of it that way.
Yeah, yeah. No, wow. It really is. It's like the Zen climb over the mountains.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I like doing it just to do it, but...
Yeah.
To think of it as like a avenue to get from point A to point B as opposed to just a ride.
Yeah, yeah. Know. It's functional.
Wow.
Even if all you're That's doing great. Is going from A to B and then back to A again.
That's fine too.
Yeah.
But yeah, as a way to get up and into and possibly over the West Hills.
Totally.
Without all the car traffic.
Yeah. We only had two negative interactions with car drivers, I think.
Oh.
One was as we rolled into Banks, which was what, like 40 miles into the trip or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And we had ended up, I think we had just turned onto the highway into Banks. From Forest Grove. And as soon as we turned on, there's like eight or ten of us, about eight, I think.
Okay.
And we were all riding a single file line, and then some car whips out from the rear distance and lays on the horn as they pass us.
No
as
kidding.
In like, your bikes, you're different. Yeah. Why are you here?
It's just funny. Like, Banks is kind of a bike town, though. It's right there at the beginning of the Banks-Vernonia Trail.
Definitely.
There's a number of bike marked bike lanes there.
Yeah. I would say there are any number of Columbia County residents that are not bike
and,
people, and that and could Jim's be part of it.
Jim's Groceries seems to cater towards bikes.
Yeah, Jim's Thriftway.
Thriftway.
It's pretty fantastic. We stopped there for lunch. It's a good spot. I actually got a picture of Nathan Jones doing a wheelie in front of a gas station.
That's right. I saw that.
It was pretty great. Yeah. He's a good wheelier. I didn't realize. It's kind of his trademark thing.
On a road bike, was it?
Yeah. Yeah, he can. I think he can wheelie almost anything. The great thing was that you know, the Ride Your Bike shop, which he owns and runs, the logo is a hummingbird on a bike, but that bike is wheeling.
I never thought of it that way.
I never thought about it that way either until I saw like multiple pictures, not just that day, but like every time you see Nathan on a bike, he's basically wheeling. Yeah. So
that's hilarious.
We did that
worth
ride.
Mentioning he's going for the world record, by the way.
Yes.
Race across the globe.
Yes. Yeah, he was telling me that. He was like, you know, what do you do after you've finished the transcontinental race? You transnavigate the globe.
Wow.
In a 60-foot clipper. Probably not.
No.
No. It'll be by bike.
Yes. Yeah, he was going over the plan over at Apex with a couple of guys.
Oh, nice.
Just
he seemed intent.
His plans are. Yeah. It's mind-blowing. That guy.
Yeah. He's he loves adventure. Yeah. So it was nice of him to share some adventure with us. I hadn't done 100 miles in a long time. And I wasn't even sure if I'd be able to do it. But
and? How'd you feel afterwards?
Not bad. They ride a lot faster than I do.
Sure.
But, yeah, Adele and I were at the back of the pack for most of the ride.
Oh, Adele went too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Adele and I
maybe
both
you
went.
Said that before. And
I don't think I did. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for reminding me that I forgot my wife. My apologies. Yeah. We stopped in Vernonia and had, we were going to have Mediterranean food, but that place was closed, which was too bad because they have indoor bike parking at that restaurant.
Oh.
Which is awesome.
But closed on Sundays.
But closed on Sundays. So it goes. But there was this Mexican restaurant we went to. We had fantastic food. And it was funny. The server made a point of calling each of us amigo or amiga every time he addressed us.
Interesting.
Which seemed a little bit like laid on to me.
Yeah.
A little like kind of selling it a little bit too hard.
I was going to say, I wonder if that's like their shtick.
It
like,
might be.
Like part of the training. Be sure to say amigo.
Right.
To everybody who comes in.
Right. But I mean, it did not bother me.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was my first beer of the day. We ate. And then we continued from there out of Vernonia and over the Scapona Highway, which is the biggest climb, I think. Hmm. Basically, the 100-mile circuit takes you over the Tualatin Mountains twice. So, not too bad.
No.
Yeah. Wow. And by the time, I think we got to the crest, the second crest of the mountains, with like, you know, 30 miles to go or something like that. And that was when it finally started to sprinkle and then to rain. So, the rest of the group, I think they stopped somewhere in the middle of Scapoose to get coffee, and Adele and I decided to keep on pushing on because it was really close to sunset. And by the time we got out of town, I think it was pretty much dusky and twilight.
Oh.
So the highway, and that's Highway 30, so it's a big, like, four-lane, you know, monstrosity. Dark at night.
Did you roll with all your panniers and everything on you?
I rolled with two panniers in front.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So I carried them, 120 miles.
Wow.
Which is what I do. I take things unnecessarily along.
Well,
it's my trademark move.
But that's, I mean,
that's my wheelie.
That's how you ride.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Highway 30 is freaky on a wet night. And I was wearing glasses too. I could have stopped to put them away, but that would require like stopping. And at that point, my feet were very wet and they were cold. Do you ever double layer your socks? Do you think that works?
It does kind of.
Okay. Because I had two layers of socks.
I often double layer my socks.
Yeah.
Because I just naturally have cold feet.
Yeah. Yeah. And at that point, at the end of the ride, like, you know, I'd been pushing my feet down onto the pedals all day. So it was kind of like cold and or numb.
Yep.
And so, yeah, that combined with dark, scary because there's big trucks and fast traffic on this highway.
Right.
And I think there tends to be like rocks and things, debris on the road in various parts of that from time to time. I don't think we got any in particular.
Okay.
But that was scary because, like, you know, what if? So, yeah, very uncomfortable. We wrapped up the entire thing downtown we stopped at Union Station, the Amtrak station, to use the restrooms. And there was some lady who was arguing with her boyfriend on the phone about whether or not she was actually at the train station. And so she got Adele to take her picture to prove her boyfriend, who might or might not have been on methamphetamines, that she was, in fact, at the train station. Didn't seem like she was having a good night.
No.
But then we rolled on home. And I swear, two beers and a whole bag of Gardettos has never felt better.
Oh, no.
After you've ridden, like, you know, 10 hours or something like that. So that was a good ride. I think if anybody has not done 100 miles, I think that's a good goal to work up to.
I think everyone should do 100 miles a year. Like a do a no. And then that's
no more.
No, I think everyone should complete a century in the summer.
Here it is.
Oh. All right.
That's our
everybody,
call to action.
Do a century.
Ride 100 miles.
One per year.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, though.
The softest call to action I could ever give.
The thing about doing 100 miles is that, like, I mean, I had only done, since returning from Boston, I had only done so much riding, like, you know, to and from work, maybe like 25 miles a day at the most.
And this is, I mean, this isn't necessarily the season where people are doing those long rides.
Right. And in a lot of places, it's impossible. It's just not a thing that people can do.
Right.
But it is possible. So I think, like, know your limits. Don't hurt yourself. Don't push yourself beyond what you can do. But, you know, if you can ride, I was thinking, like, if you can ride 50 miles, you can ride 100 miles, basically, you know.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
That's it. So yes, go out. Ride 100 miles. If, in fact, you are physically capable and it will not hurt you. Do not trust us for medical advice. We are not trained professionals. We are just people who like to ride 100 miles. And we think if we can do it, you can do it too.
Yeah, you don't even, like, just keep the gearing low, you know?
Yep. Maria Schur, who was on the ride, she said I think it was some like old book from the 60s or something about bicycling as a lady. And about how you were supposed to just shift your gears down as you go up a hill and glide to the top without, you know, without exertion, without undue strain, without arriving with, you know, crazy perspiration or heavy breath. It's ladylike just to shift all the way down and go up.
And go all the way back.
Yeah, glide up and get there when you do.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. So anyways, those are some things that happen.
Those are things.
Should we read some mail?
Yes, once I find my device.
All right. I was thinking somebody was talking. We'll get to it here in a bit. But we had a letter from somebody who said that the weather is just plain not great for cycling. And so he is on a trainer in the indoors during the winter.
That's right. Yes.
That's a thing that people can do.
Yeah.
So
you can ride 100 miles inside.
Yeah. Here, let's do this.
We got mail.
Johnny K carries tools.
Johnny K does carry tools. Lots of them.
Add an owl. Owl.
Owl.
You know, I used to pronounce it owl.
Owl? Well,
and we'd get it confused with the bird.
It's a vowel and a W-L. So
yes, an owl.
Similar. Owl.
A-W-L. And a small hammer to your tool kit. Add those two tools to your tool kit.
Oh, hang on.
Wait. Yeah. This is how I used to patch chains when I was a kid. Also, used to use my mom's fingernail polish to hold the pin in if needed.
So fingernail polish is in like I'm curious if that means like it's kind of cementing it in because it's paint or something, like it just keeps it from slipping out.
Yeah.
Must be.
I don't know. Mr. K, you're going to have to
explicate farther, yeah. But I like this because, hey, like an awl. I guess you couldn't. Could you use? Because there's an awl and there's a leather punch, right? Are they the same thing or are they different? I feel like
no,
an awl has a really sharp end.
An awl and a leather punch. I mean, we may be. Yeah.
Are we splitting hairs? Or feathers?
I'm not a tool doctor.
You're not a tool user?
But to me, they are the same. They at least have the same function.
I was just going
to
say.
Both are to punch a hole in a thing.
or to put a pin back into a chain.
Yes.
But I'm just going to say, if you have a really sharp awl and you want to keep it that way, maybe you don't want to do the chain thing with the hammer with
I
the sharp awl.
Right.
Maybe like the leather punch style where it's like a little flat on the end so that, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Or a chain breaker, like if you can afford one.
Yes.
Yeah. You're not always close to a place where you could buy a chain breaker, though.
No.
Sometimes all you can get is an awl.
Yes.
Or an ads.
Do you remember when...
An ads would work, right?
We're way on a tangent.
Doesn't an ads have like a little hooky thing at the end of it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And ads is like a scythe, but with a hook. or a horn. Yeah.
Where were we?
Yes. Alls.
Also, when you do get the chain replaced, keep a small section of it so that you will have replacement links and pins to work with.
Yeah.
Smart.
Oh, hey.
Roadside repairs.
My little keychain here. It's made of a bicycle chain.
That's true.
So I suppose, in a worst case scenario, if something happened, I could take
You could use that.
Look how many links are on here, man. I could patch links. Several chains with this opener and still have some left over. Now we know.
And found out, this is still Johnny K, found out what Sarah Gilbert had to say about drive-through discrimination.
She says it's unsustainable. Yeah, because our guests last week were talking about trying to get Taco Bell after closing hours and not being able to go through the drive-thru.
The cops were called on them.
Yes.
They didn't get the cops to come over.
The cops did not get Taco Bell for them.
Right.
Yeah. No, but the thing was about, first of all, Burgerville, if we haven't already cleared that up, Burgerville has a drive-thru. It's okay to do so.
It says on there, bikes pull up to the window, at least one on 92nd and Powell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It takes a while because they're not used to seeing somebody just pull up to the window and they... Yeah, we'll often be doing their own business.
That means it has not
yet. I don't
think
it's impolite to knock on the window at that point.
No. I mean, if that's the sensor mechanism you have is knocking on the window, then you do so. Yeah. And I believe Eric Iverson also tweeted to us about that and said
drive-through discrimination. Yes.
Yeah.
And getting the cops called on him.
He's had them called twice at least, he said, which is a thing that happens. Okay. So, Eric, I don't know whether to congratulate you or not. I guess it depends on the outcome of those interactions.
I mean, he's still a free man, so congratulations on that.
Yes. We went to the hotcake house. They don't have a drive-thru.
They don't have a drive-thru there, so.
No. So he was talking about trying to do a drive-thru ride for Petalpalooza.
Yeah. How badass would that be?
That'd be kind of badass. I guess, I feel like.
There'd be enough of you. You would set the sensor off.
And maybe enough to please the insurance company for safety reasons.
Well, or.
Like if you go through
or
in a pack.
Or at least. Please the management for profitable reasons.
Possibly, yeah.
You know?
Like, hey, we'll take 18 crunch wraps.
Right.
Ugh. I could eat that many crunch wraps, I think.
I don't think I could eat one crunch
I love
wrap.
The concept of the crunch wrap. The crunch wrap itself is not a perfect food. Do you remember? Were you ever around when I made those?
You made crunch wraps?
With a George Foreman grill.
No.
You buy like a pack of tostadas. And you can make them vegetarian. You could get like refried beans or whatever.
Yeah.
And everything else that goes into a crunch wrap. And then you like, it's hexagonal, right? So you take the big old tortilla and fold it around the tostada. And then you put that whole thing onto the George Foreman grill or equivalent. Like if you have a panini grill at home, you could use that. But yeah. And then you have yourself a crunch wrap made at home.
There you go.
I'm not sure how they get like the lettuce. You can't cook it with the lettuce or you can't fry it with the lettuce. Inside because that gets soft. So I'm not sure like how you do that. Maybe you need a hotter grill to sear it with.
Yeah.
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 And then you wouldn't have to drive through.
Yeah, you need to basically like flash sear it. So that the lettuce still stays cool.
That's probably, and the sour cream if you do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Crunchwrap's not vegan.
Nope.
No. Sorry, Nathan.
Next up. Rory in Michigan. I'm not sure if you've seen this yet, as it is a few months old. Seems pretty awesome if you're afraid of losing your sweet rims to a bike thief.
Yes. And what are the quick caps, I believe
quick
is what these
caps.
Are called.
Yeah. There's a number
Say
of
that
products.
Five times fast.
There's a number of products like this.
Yeah. I believe Tammy and Logan had recommended for against wheel theft. There's a version of this that they use. Which I believe if your bicycle was upside down, you couldn't remove the wheels.
No kidding.
Or something like that. Yeah, it was like...
So you just lock your bike up upside down?
I think so. Yeah. If you have a leather saddle you care about, I guess you'd cover it up and make sure it didn't get scratched. What's up, train?
There it goes. Apparently our listeners like to hear the train.
They do. It's what they say. God bless them.
That is definitely freight.
That is a freight train. It's moving slow. It's
just poking along.
Yeah. But these quick caps, they're a lock for your quick release wheel. So basically, it's locked down.
So you don't have to buy a whole new set of skewers.
Yeah. I was just going to say, like at that point, I'm curious about it. I like the idea because like nobody likes getting their shit stolen. But there's also the question that if that's the case, what if you just had bolt-on wheels?
Sure.
You know, because that would probably take...
I mean, that's a whole new hub set.
Right. I guess you're right.
Like, so if you bought a used bike and, you know, it came with quick release, you basically have to get a new wheel set to get bolt-on. But, I mean, the point of a quick release, if I'm not mistaken, is...
To release to, like, it quickly?
To it, yeah. Way to go.
Yeah. No, the thing about
and,
it, yeah.
And so when you lock them up, it sort of defeats that purpose in a way.
Right.
I guess, but how many people are actually, like, pulling their wheels off anyway?
Right. You don't see that. I don't see it happening that often.
Here's the thing.
Tell me.
Not to put it, first off, Rory, thank you for that.
Yes. We're not disparaging reference.
Honestly, yeah. I think something like that is a really good idea. And this isn't foolproof either, but I just take a, you know, pretty substantial cable and weave it through my wheels. And
your,
then,
yeah. And security then cable from my, Kryptonite.
Yeah, add that to my lock.
We're not sponsored by them. No consideration was given.
Actually, it's Master.
We just use them. Master oh, okay. I use Kryptonite. You use Master.
Well, it was.
And I'll get to Scotland for you
at the time. But
yes,
yeah, and then just so weave that in and out of my wheels, and then wrap the ends into or attach the ends to my U-lock, and then that's there too.
Right.
It's not a guarantee. You know, anyone can. Well, people are sawing through the staples these days anyway.
They
so.
Are, yeah. Portland's bike staples have been destroyed, torn asunder by thieves.
Yeah.
Somebody, who was it? I think it was somebody on the Century Ride had shared this thing that, what is it? That thieves, what was it? Locks don't stop thieves. They keep honest people honest or something like that.
Sure, sure.
Doesn't make you feel any better about getting your bike stolen.
Well, I mean, it may be semantics at that point.
There's a thin line.
Once you've taken a bike, you're a bike thief.
This line is metaphysical.
Technically.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, most property-related crimes are crimes of opportunity.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah. What was the other thing about quick-release wheels? And I'm not sure if this was something that we covered on the show or if it was a conversation I had somewhere else, but there's also what they call the lawyer tabs. Because the idea of a quick release is that you could turn the thing and then the wheel just drops right out.
Right. But
for legal reasons, I don't think anybody makes a frame that way anymore because they're worried about the possibility of the thing
lawsuits.
Wobbling out
yes.
like on its own, like the quick release coming undone. And then without those lawyer tabs, the wheel could just slip right out. And so those tabs are the things that keep the circular parts to quick release.
I think there's more history behind it.
I'm sure there is.
I remember reading something in an old Bicycle Quarterly about it.
Okay.
Why it's called Lawyer Lips, actually.
Lawyer Lips.
Yep.
Okay.
Having nothing to do with actual lawyer's lips. It's a lip on the...
How do we know?
On the... Well, it is basically what you're saying. It's so that bike manufacturers won't get sued.
Right. I've never been trapped by a lawyer's lips, but I could imagine it could be daunting. Hard to get out from.
Depends on the lawyer.
Probably. But that's kind of their job.
Yeah.
It's like the tool of their profession.
That is true. Yes.
So, yeah. That and a good typewriter.
Next up, Brandon from last week has connections to a touring book.
Yes.
I just Googled my wife's uncle.
Stop.
Northern Tier and found an excerpt from his book.
Yes. Yeah, this is pretty cool.
So, Brandon's wife's uncle
mm-hmm.
wrote a book.
Yes. About
the Northern Tier.
Cycling touring. Yeah, yeah. So anyways, there's that. We'll share that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Tim Mooney sends us this article about why some cyclists break traffic laws.
Yeah, and this was based in Washington, D.C., but it was the basic idea was if I read it correctly, was that the infrastructure is not always built for the cyclist, and so many people on bicycles break laws because they're like, well, this is the safest thing to do. Like if I can cross...
At least in their perception.
Right. If I can go through this red light, I'll get like halfway up the block before the cars catch up to me.
Sure.
They'll see me there. I'll be safer that way. Or equivalent, like several other situations. And yeah. And so anyways, interesting article. Thank you, Tim.
Next up, John in Goldendale.
On a trainer.
Greetings from Goldendale, Washington, on the dry side of the mountains. I've been a listener for about a year and a half. Really enjoy your show. Last winter, you were my companions while I put the miles on a stationary bike, waiting for spring so I could resume bike commuting. Winter in Goldendale is below my comfort zone for outdoor riding, especially at night.
I guess like freezing, right? I'm sure.
I would imagine
oftentimes.
So.
Oftentimes. Yeah.
And this year you keep me awake as I commute by car, darn it, to my new job in the Dells. Count me as another vote in favor of the train sounds.
Oh, thanks, John.
Anyway, I'm surprised to be able to contribute a headline from way out here in Goldendale. And this is...
Oh, yeah. Basically, it's a summary of the council, the city council meeting. But they were saying in this council meeting that bike racks basically... The quote was funny. It was something to the effect of like, if you put bike racks in, you can lure the cycle tourists in. Basically, you can lead them anywhere you want them to go by putting in cycle racks. I'm not sure if that's actually true or not.
You can lead a bicyclist to the rack.
But you can't make him lock.
You can't make him lock.
That's true. Yeah, I was really glad to see that. Goldendale is not far from the Lewis and Clark route.
Oh, yeah?
And it's a cute little town. Friend of mine actually worked out there a couple days a week recently.
I wonder if they're, like, trying to groom themselves as sort of, like, we're the gateway to the Lewis and Clark Trail.
From Yakima.
Come hang out here and then before you go on your way.
Right, right. Yeah. Or if you wanted to go up and actually get civilization, Goldendale's not that far from the river. And I remember getting to, like, the junction. It's kind of up on top of a hill. You'd have a bit more climbing before you actually got to Goldendale. But if you wanted to spend the night there, I feel like there's got to be some wine country out there too. And Clickitat County. It's a nice spot.
Yeah.
I'll take the liberty of saying that this is very general, so I think it's probably okay. But Lenny Anderson has a place out in Clickitat somewhere.
Oh, yeah?
Way out there.
So give him a call. He'll No.
I think it's where he goes
don't
to get away.
That. Don't do that.
Just ignore his presence there. Just pretend I never said anything.
Yep.
But yeah, Goldendale is great. I would love to get out there again someday.
Huh.
It's one of the places that's a bit harder to reach by transit, but all of the gorge. Again, if you ever, Aaron Flores,
yes.
If you yourself.
If I might.
If you ever decide to go on a solo tour, I highly recommend riding out the gorge. Go out and do it. Because you can go all the way to Pasco and then catch the train back. You have to box your bike up. But you could do like a three or four. Well, and we don't know about those new cars yet.
Yeah.
They might be in service by the time you decide to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. A couple of Twitters.
Yes, Kirk. Premium Rush is a better movie with the Sprocket Podcast commentary.
Oh, shucks.
Thanks, guys. Invite Aaron's brother to join for the next one.
I think that's a fabulous idea.
Which we've already been talking about now.
Dan Flores will talk about BMX bike racing with us when we watch, what is it?
It'll be great because like you and I come from a background of being on bikes.
Right.
And we'll probably kind of talk on that angle. By the way, we're thinking of doing BMX Bandits, guys.
BMX Bandits or Rad, whichever one we can get to.
Red is one I've seen as a kid.
Yeah, if anybody has a copy of either one, I feel like it's kind of hard to find.
I know BMX Bandits is available at the library.
Okay, good to know.
I haven't checked on Red.
Okay.
Oh, BMX Bandits is also available on Netflix?
Oh, really? Okay.
I think I remember seeing it there.
Nice. We'll check it out.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's what we're thinking of.
Yeah.
But it would be funny because Dan doesn't necessarily have that angle.
He's not a super bikey guy.
He's probably not even going to like comment so much on the biking end of things. He'll probably he'll bring a different perspective.
He'll be our cultural correspondent.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes. Next up, Eric. Cops have been called on me twice for late night drive-thrus. Look for a Pedalpalooza drive-thru ride this summer.
And I am just curious about, like, kind of the legality about this. Because, like, there are a couple of Pedalpalooza rides that dance around the edges of the law.
some which have have certainly danced through the edges.
Right under the fringe. Yeah. So close to the law that the long arm can't quite find them.
Right.
Yeah. I am curious how that would work out. I'm wondering if there would be any conflicts.
Is there anything illegal about it?
Only if you're on private property and the private property owner does not want you there. So I don't know. It's a good question. I wish I knew.
Yeah, any restaurant, you know, they all have the postings. We reserve the right to refuse service.
Right.
So they could just say, like, no, you can't. I guess anybody who's there would have to kind of take their word for it.
Yeah.
But
no jersey, no clip-in shoes, no service.
That's right. No clips, no service.
Yeah.
I would be cool to call these establishments ahead of time and just say, like, I've got like 20 bikes coming through.
Yeah.
This is business for you, folks.
Yeah. Do we know any like locally owned? Because some of them are franchises. Maybe they get to call
them. When I hear drive-through, that's all I can think of are franchises.
They get to call their own shots. Yeah. I'm not sure what the difference is between like, you know, like someone's own like small business with a corporate brand and because I feel like McDonald's doesn't really franchise out, but like I think Subway does. So I could be wrong.
Oh, right. Yes.
It's all about who calls the shots. So like if you find someone that lives in town that might be able to sign off, like maybe we could do that.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. Yeah. Or someone, strikes the herd and they scatter. Or something. I don't know. Who knows? I don't mean to be too pessimistic. I like the idea of this. I'm just curious. Yeah.
I don't see any reason why a restaurant manager, owner, worker, whatever, would need to refuse.
Yeah.
Service.
Why turn away willing paying customers?
Exactly.
It's unsustainable, as Sarah Gilbert says.
Thank you, Sarah Gilbert.
Said in 2009. Long time ago. Timely words, though. Timely words. Shall we wrap this thing up?
Sure. As soon as I get my notes again.
All right. Put this baby to bed.
Let's do this. Find us on the internet at thesprocketpodcast.com. Send feedback via email to thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. Call or text 2503-847-9774. Twitter to Sprocket Podcast. Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music. Thanks to Herbert for our headline sounder. Thanks to Marcus Norman for graphic design. And thanks to our sustaining donors, Logan Smith, Johnny K, Shadowfoot, Katharina Mellengard,
Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson, Ethan Georgie,
Justin Martin, Eric Iverson, Cameron Lane,
Richard Wazensky, Tim Mooney, Orange and Purple,
Glenn Kubish, Matt Kelly, Jim Gooden,
Eric Weiss, Doug Coamilla, Todd Parker,
Scott McAllister Morgan, Chris Gonzalez, Dan Gebhardt, and Zoe Campagna.
Adieu.
Listening to Open Roads Broadcasting.
If you could do that just a little bit closer to the mic, that'd be useful. That'd give us some better sound quality. I'd turn up your gain here.
I'm chewing as loud as I can. Hey. Up near Interstate, just a bit north of Rose Quarter.
Yeah.
Like near the Belmont Bridge, is it?
Fremont Bridge?
Fremont Bridge, yeah. Is there like a pet food manufacturer over there?
Dude, we have talked about that before. Not you and I, but I've talked about that with people before. That's what we thought it was. But I think it's the Widmer Brewery.
Oh, really?
Because it's down there underneath the bridge. And so it's all like hoppy and whatnot.
Okay.
And you would get the same smell near the Bridgeport Brewery in what is now the Pearl. Used to be not the Pearl.
You're right.
Yeah. Because it smells pretty much like dog food.
Wait, the Pearl is not the Pearl anymore.
Well, it used to be not the Pearl and now it is the Pearl.
Oh, used to be not the Pearl.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.